This is huge. This is absolutely huge. You could see Mbolo there. He did move his leg to make sure it hit Paredes.
After review, there is no foul for number 5. And number 7, there is a clear simulation. Final decision, yellow card to number 7.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. And in that instance, all hell is going to break loose here. Switzerland are absolutely furious.
Ian Dark. Man, if you love, if you're somebody that is annoyed with announcers constantly and have loved almost every moment of the broadcast in the World Cup, then we are best friends. Just the way some of these, Ian Dark especially, John Strong, who's the top guy for Fox, Derek Ray, Hargraves, and Fletcher, all of them are so keen. I'm leaving, is it, what's Jackie's last name? She's great too with Warren Barton. I've done this before and I was embarrassed. They're all so good. In fact, one real quick, I want to get a call in on the Sabres. And by the way, according to Chad DeDominicis, they're hiring John Davidson as an executive. That John Davidson, who's been Columbus, MSG, Rangers goalie, been around for decades. We'll have to look into that. World Cup announcers. What? Where was I? Maybe it can wait. I want to talk about the replay and everything like that. It can wait. I lost my train of thought on this other Sabres news, but they're all so good. I just, so many football announcers and hockey announcers just really don't, by their words, care about either the words or the truth. And when I'm listening to Landon Donovan, oh yeah, John Strong, so many of these soccer guys, they definitely care about both things. There's just no wasted words. This is really where I'm at. It's clever. It's insightful. It's just so good. John Strong has a particular trait that I really admire. This is what I dislike strenuously about Chris Fowler and several other like top play-by-play guys. Listen to a promo of a baseball broadcast, and the play-by-play announcer sounds like he's literally screaming, and it's game 52 of the season. There's no context, and like Fowler gets the national championship game, he gets Wimbledon, or maybe he doesn't anymore, he gets top events, but when he raises his voice, you can feel his spit on your face. It's just gross. It's so loud and like in the red that the greats never, ever sound like that. They know how to raise their voice and their level without shouting at you. And Fowler is the type where he is just like spitting at you. He's so loud. John Strong, listen to a highlight of his goals. They're all perfect. And it's not even like that word. It's not, he's not Ian Dark. He's not somebody who's using his lexicon to great lengths, but it sounds just right because he's able to raise his voice, but not be shouting. And that is a great trait. And he is the absolute deserved number one guy for Fox. And every time I turn on a World Cup game, which I've almost watched them all in segments, I get Strong and Holden. I'm like, I'm just delighted immediately. Like this is perfect. And they're flying all over the map. He'll have one of these games probably tomorrow. I would guess he'll have one of these games in the semis and then the finals on Sunday. And I can't wait. All right. We'll get to soccer again later. Here's Greg next. Hi, Greg.
Hey, Mike, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Fine. You're welcome.
Yeah. So I think where I'm at with Hellebuck trade rumors, it's kind of revolving around team confidence, like front office Sabres confidence versus like fan confidence. I feel like 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10 Sabres fans would probably tell you like, yeah, we're making the playoffs next year. I'm pretty confident. But then is the team confidence the same way? Like if they feel totally confident that they're making the second round or even maybe even the third round, if they get lucky, why, I guess the Hellebuck move would have to be behind that. I feel if they're not fully confident in next year and they're saying, oh, it may just be a fluke, or this season was a fluke. Next season, I don't know if we're going to be getting to that level again. Then maybe they do roll out the same three goaltenders. I don't know. But we're getting into weird kind of Brandon Bean territory where it's kind of like, oh, we're going to test the waters, and we're going to reach out to other GMs, and we may be in on Miles Garrett, or we may be in on, you know, at one time it was Justin Jefferson. I don't know. But it's like, is that Yarmo's strategy? I don't know. But that's what I'm thinking.
Can you stay with me for a minute here? Because
sure.
I think the logic works the other way. If not also, I think the logic works the other way. I think if the Sabres are in on Hellebuck, which I think they are, the logic is instead to take it up a level, to take a second round team that did not get great goaltending when it mattered the most. Maybe it wasn't terrible. To the cup. And if they like who they have, then they might think they don't need to bother. You think it's the other way around?
I think it's the other way around because it's kind of like, okay, the playoffs start today for the next season. I'm just like playing a game, I guess, where the playoffs start today and you look at your lineup, same as what you and Bulldog like to do, where you have a lineup today and you're basically like saying, I want to have a goaltender that I'm confident in. Wouldn't I want Hellebuck there to say that, okay, I can go up against Tampa, Florida, Montreal, whoever I'm facing, and say, yes, I'm fully confident that he gives us the best chance? Or sure. Do you want to roll out UPL and Lyon again and just like cross your fingers and hope?
No, I mean, yeah, that's the point. Thanks, Greg. I think why you trade for Hellebuck is a bet on, I've got a great roster and now I need a great goalie and come at me. And I don't hate that. I mean, I've never been invest in goalie guy, but like, I get it. Not to mention how exciting it would be. And I loved a point from today's morning show where it was said, imagine this is being reported as true. Like, imagine you have a superstar in the league and he wants to play for you. And you're Buffalo. I mean, when has it ever happened that like we're turning that down? You don't need to be a slave to that. Now, I don't know. I think the reason you get him is if your bet is, I love my team, but my goaltending wasn't good enough, and now it will be. And I'm somebody, I know how Paul has talked many times, and I think it's fair. The history with Hellebuck in the playoffs, I just don't care. I never stray from this. Hockey, football, baseball, whatever. I think games are games. I think, you know, even players talk differently and we all attach a much greater significance to it. I don't think the Sabres lost because they were scared. I don't think that was going to be a problem in the first place. And they went and beat Boston. And I think probably you still had people writing the epitaph as if they were just like not experienced enough or something like that. Why? Because that goal went in? I'm never changing on this. There's no reason for me to change on this. I know how we write stories with sports. Otherwise, maybe we wouldn't care. We need for there to be stories. But I think games are games. I think at the professional level, when you get that far in life, in a sport, and you have only made it that far, unless you're a prodigy, even then, you've only made it that far by learning how, as a child, and then a teenager, and then a young adult, how to be able to compartmentalize your emotions and focus and go shift to shift. That's why I think momentum is garbage. I think, soccer's obsessed with momentum, by the way. I mean, even at the intermissions, they're asking, who has the momentum? Will somebody ever say, who cares? Who has the ball at this point? Like, it's just why I think so much of it all is garbage. It doesn't all have to be completely meaningless, but a lot of it comes close. Really, I've got, you know, a team of professionals that know how to get ready to go to work, and you skate your shift and you sit down and you're thinking about the next one. And I think those guys are so trained to be able to do that. This point is only, I mean, I could go on forever and I'm sure it's annoying, but it's really just to say that I don't care about somebody's playoff past. It's all well and good to point out that Sergei Bobrovsky was a lousy playoff goalie until he wasn't. Well, let's try to learn something from that. What happened? Nothing happened. He just did better the next time. Like, it's all kind of how sports is. But, you know, if you want to write a story that he learned something, and he'll probably take your question and say that he did, because that works for everybody, okay. I don't care about Hellebuck's playoff history. I just watched him win gold for Team USA. Was that not high pressure enough? Is playing for Winnipeg in a playoff series against Minnesota higher stakes than playing for the gold medal? I'll hang up and listen. So that part of it, and that's not really where the caller Greg was coming from, really, like his playoff pass. I just know that I don't care at all. And I'm ready for him to prove that different the next time, because guys always do. And like, then we'll go to someone else and pick on them for their playoff past. I don't even think Luukkonen or even Lyon. Lyon was good. Luukkonen was fine. Lyon was good until game six in Montreal. And then we got to pull him. I mean, really, it's just so random. Don't care about Hellebuck's playoff past. I'm not building any argument on Luukkonen based on the game seven goal or any of his playoff performances. I don't care. I think, you know, those guys are both to varying degrees proven good to great players. But if I'm the Sabres, like I was saying to the caller, if I'm the Sabres and I'm, you know, in a meeting, which now perhaps would include John Davidson, who was a goalie and has been an executive with Yarmo for many years in Columbus, like they must see him as an important voice. And I'm going to stereotype myself right now by saying, which side do you think he'd be on? Go get your star. Go get your goaltender. And go from there. And the Sabres can afford it. They can afford it financially. They can afford it by their roster. It's just a matter of coming to terms if Winnipeg is ready to move him, which I think it is. I think it sounds like every time you look up, there's another Connor Hellebuck trade rumor. And if Winnipeg is ever ready to shoot that down, feel free. They don't. So if you're ready to go win and you think you've got the team to do it, which I think the Sabres are entitled to think, then it's Connor Hellebuck time. And what a rise that would get out of the fans. And maybe the locker room. And maybe the entire hockey world, the NHL world. It's like, okay, Buffalo, I guess you meant it. And we have just almost never been able to feel that. If you think you're going to struggle to make the playoffs, then that's another question, but I don't think really that has to hinge on who your goaltender is. I mean, it was really close. The Sabres ended up in first place, but I mean, what were they ahead of fifth place? 10 points? Wasn't it like 109, 106, 106, 199, maybe the top five in that division? I mean, that's a couple of games, head-to-head losses to the team that finished fourth or fifth. Then you flip it. Whether it's anything about the regular season or not, I mean, the Sabres are not going to be considered less of a favorite if they trade Jack Quinn and a first and who? Mertka for Connor Hellebuck. Nobody's dinging them in the odds. Instead, they raise it's eyeball emojis all over hockey. And you know what? I think it could make sense. I think they're in a spot, in a vacuum, they're in a spot where this is defensible. And they don't live in a vacuum. They live in Buffalo, which never does that, which makes it even more exciting. They're more of a Stanley Cup favorite with him on the team, no matter what they give up. With all the love we want to, time spent fawning over Hellenius and Östlund and Kulik, they're more of a favorite with Hellebuck. Luukkonen's in that trade too, right? I like the three-team trade idea, but it's harder to pull off. You don't really ever see it unless you're in the NBA and they make six-team trades, which to me is insane. I can't even imagine a six-team trade in fantasy. I've done three-teamers before, and then you get napkins out and try to figure out different ideas. Six teams seems like a dare. Mike Schopier, Bulldog is off, 803-0550. Thank you, Greg. This is WGR.